Welcome to the Fantasy Blackboard, your home for all of your fantasy football rankings, tips, and discussion. Class is in session. Here are your hosts, Jonathan and Zach.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Football Blackboard. I am Zach.
I'm Don.
And as per usual, let's just jump right into Week 9's injuries. We'll start with talking about who's going to be on a bye going into Week 10 first. That's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Rams, the Miami Dolphins, and the Philadelphia Eagles. So a couple big names from pretty much all those teams are going to be missing out this week.
A lot of weapons and quarterbacks.
Yep.
Well,
let's talk about a quarterback first. One that you're probably not playing unless, like we were talking earlier, is a super flex option. That's Daniel Jones, who is confirmed to have an ACL tear, and he will be out till next year sometime.
How do you think they're feeling about that contract they gave him?
Probably not that great. And now you have, Tommy DeVito himself.
Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci would have been just as good at throwing the ball.
He looked scary.
As Mr. DeVito.
What was wild about Daniel Jones is I didn't think it was like an ACL right away because like he kind of fell down a couple times and was still like out there and then just falls down again and it's like, hey,
yeah,
come look at me.
When it's non-contact like that, pretty much the kiss of death.
Yeah, I mean, it just, for sure.
Yeah. You got to feel for him. He had like that one game in Week 2 where he just willed them back to a win. He had a huge game against the Cardinals, and like every other game was just miserable. I mean, that Giants offense is miserable. It's a train wreck. I mean, it's
Do you
just
think the
terrible.
Giants win another game this season?
I don't know. I'd have to look at their schedule, but one thing I'm worried about is Brian Daboll's health on the sideline. I mean, he's
swallowing a stroke.
He is literally coming apart at the seams. He has lost all composure over there, man. Darren Waller on the IR. They have no, because Tyrod Taylor,
yep,
on the IR now.
He'll come back at some point this year, but
at some point, but it's all for naught at this point. I mean, it's just they have a lack of weapons. It's just going to be a lot of Saquon. So for the Saquon Barkley owners, he's going to get volume. It's going to be against stacked boxes, but at least he's going to keep touching the ball until he gets hurt.
Darren Waller. So he's on the IR, not eligible to return until Week 14 with a hamstring issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Miserable.
Just piling up for the Giants.
They have no weapons. They have no quarterback. Brian Daboll's going to have a stroke more than likely. Hope not, but he just looks completely overwhelmed, red in the face at all times, screaming at people. His headset's falling off. He has no control of that, of anything going on out there.
No.
So, coach of the year guy from last season did such a good job with such a bad team. And like, I mean, they have completely reverted back to being the little Giants. I mean, it's just both New York teams offensively. I mean, they're two of the worst teams in the NFL on offense are both out of New York right now.
Yeah. I'm going to call this a win because every week we have multiple running backs going out with injuries. This week we only had one.
Yep.
Cam Akers.
Who cares?
Achilles, and he's done for the year. And honestly, his career looks kind of shaky.
Second
because
Achilles
he's
injury.
Just, yeesh.
He was playing pretty well.
And it's the opposite Achilles from last one. So now
both of them. Both Achilles, yeah. It's feel bad for him. I mean, that sucks. You know, injuries are not anything you wish on anybody, but Alexander Mattison's stock is back up again. I mean, with how bad RB is at this juncture of the season, I mean, he's back to being an RB2.
I mean,
he's
they were basically splitting. So now, back to Mattison.
He got in the end zone against Atlanta. I mean, he's a low-end RB2 again. I don't know who else they're going to use in that backfield. So,
Moving on, we have Josh Palmer, also sent to the IR for the Chargers with a knee injury. And, this makes it tough for an offense that's already struggling because it doesn't seem like Quentin Johnston is ready or capable.
Yeah.
So you're basically down to Eckler and Allen.
Quentin Johnston kind of looks like a baby deer running around. Like he's just so not polished in anything he does on the football field. He's a great athlete, great size, the speed. But I mean, it's a Keenan Allen show, and beyond that, I mean, you saw what they did against that Jet. I mean, granted, the Jets have an amazing defense. I mean, they suffocate people on all levels. They have a great front. They have great guys on coverage in the back end. They're really good. So, you know, worst case scenario for a guy like, well, really for the whole offense. But, I mean, it's Keenan Allen and Eckler, and they're just going to ride those two. I mean, they're going to get so much volume the rest of the season. I'm not starting Quentin Johnston anywhere.
No.
I mean, we see something, him, you know, build games, build performances. Too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just haven't seen anything. So,
another wide receiver, Christian Watson, where to even start? Knee, chest, also a concussion.
Let's put him in a full body suit, put him in a bubble.
Yeah. It needs to be in a bubble.
He also can't run routes.
Watson is quoted in saying that he's good.
Yeah. Well,
But we'll have to see. Keep an eye on his practice status. Maybe
he's another guy I'm not starting.
Right,
I'm just down
the list. More wide receivers. A lot of wide receivers this week. KJ Osborne with concussion and a nasty looking one too.
Scary looking play. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go ahead and say he probably doesn't get through concussion protocol this week.
I think they'll play it safe with him, especially if Jefferson's close to getting back. I mean, there's just no reason to that was a scary scene. That was bad.
Yeah.
Now, he was alert, and he didn't get stretchered off. He just kind of, like, got up and walked over and sat down on the stretcher and was, like, you know. He avoided anything catastrophic, thank God, but, like, you have to play it safe with a hit like that.
Yeah.
You know, with head injuries, you never know. Symptoms come a week later sometime. I mean, you just got to play it really safe.
So
with him,
just expect him to be out for week 10.
Yeah, I managed to start him twice last week, so that was good.
Josh Downs with a knee injury. He tried to play through it tried to play through it going into week 9. Couldn't get it. He's possibly a risk to not play in week 10 either. So that means you wouldn't see Josh Downs until week 12 because of the week 11 bye week.
Yeah, that's probably an advantage, honestly.
Yeah.
You sit him out week 10, let him rest, give him that extra week. He only misses one game. He's a good player. He's been a pretty vital part of their offense, and that team's not dead yet. So
right.
On
the same team, we also have Michael Pittman with concussion. He returned to play in week 9.
Yeah, it's a good sign.
However, like you said,
things can linger.
Symptoms can pop up.
I'm sure they'll keep an eye on him, but the fact that he returned to the game, definitely cautious optimism. He should be ready for week 10.
Yeah. A couple players that are potentially available to return in week 10. David Montgomery, which I'm like crossing every finger I have.
For Drake London. If you're a Jameer Gibbs owner.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Hoping he doesn't come back, but yeah.
Drake London, who was kind of a late addition to the injury report throughout the week going into week 9. So we'll see what happens there. Greg Dulcich, Khalil Herbert, which just makes the Bears running back room more confusing.
Yeah. Yep.
Debo Samuel, which would be good for a 49ers team who's dropped 3 in a row, but they're coming off a bye, so hopefully they got things together.
Yeah, that could be perfect timing for them, too, because they've really scuffled, but I really think it's just kind of a blip on the radar for them. I think especially once he's back on the field, which I think he will be, they'll be back to business as usual.
Then we have two for the much-needed, I don't know if that's the way I wanted to word it. However, James Conner, Kyler Murray, coming back to one of the worst-looking offenses from Week 9, and that's the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, they played the Browns, and a guy's name who I can't even remember ever, which tells you what
Clayton
you need to
Tune.
Know, played quarterback. Right. So, I mean,
Nick Tunes.
I'll take bad Kyler Murray over Nick at Night, or whatever his name is, anytime. Twice on Sundays. It was bad. Kyler being back means a lot, really, for me, for Trey McBride, and for Hollywood. But Trey McBride was the big one. He had that big week prior and was, I think, held to one catch in week 9. With tight ends being, you know, you have no Kelce. Goddard is another one that we're probably going to cover here. You know, you might need a tight end off waivers if someone, you know, panic drops Trey McBride. I think you can definitely snag him up because I like his rest of the season as like a low end tight end one with Kyler Murray back. Even if Kyler's not at full strength, he likes to dump off to his tight ends anyway. So I feel like it's going to be a lot of horizontal, a lot of like short routes, quick throws, and Trey McBride could definitely benefit from that.
Yeah. I did accidentally skip over Dallas Goedert. My bad. Fractured arm. So on the he's a candidate for IR.
He's a candidate, yeah.
So he's not on it yet. However, in the interim, I think that
they have a bye this week. So what it's going to do is just be super annoying for like injury designation on your fantasy rosters because he might not go straight. You know, if out players aren't allowed on IR, you might have to just sit him on your bench and wait it out.
However, it does open the door a little bit for Devontae Smith owners to get a little more volume. He's gotten a little more the past 2 weeks, and now that Dallas Goedert's going to be out a few weeks.
Yeah, he's given you 2 weeks. I mean, he's still a middle-of-the-pack wide receiver, too, I think.
Yeah, but it's a little more potential there. Something that we're trying to be, you know, we're a silver lining type show here.
Absolutely. So. Sure.
All right, and two guys that were kind of TBD on returning. Justin Fields, however, the Bears are playing Thursday, so probably not this week.
He's getting close. I think it's 50-50. I mean, it's a non-throwing hand injury. Now, Badgett's been decent. I don't think, you know. But again, what are we talking about here? It's a team that doesn't really have aspirations of doing anything this season.
They gave Montez what a huge contract.
Well, I still think that's for this, you know, beyond this season. Okay. You know what I mean? They've actually added a lot of pieces to their defense.
Yeah.
They added Edmonds at middle linebacker. You know, they've done different things that you can see what they're trying to do.
Right.
We're
not going to be able to score. Let's buff up this defense.
Yeah, and it's too bad. I mean, Fields was playing pretty well before the injury.
Oh, before he got hurt, yeah. He was starting to play pretty great, actually.
But I still think they're just kind of in the running to get a big pick and play for 2024.
And last but not least, Justin Jefferson, who we kind of were starting to think that maybe we wouldn't see him for the rest of the season with Kirk Cousins going down. However, with the emergence of a show favorite, Josh Dobbs, maybe he's going to come back.
Oh, I think he's definitely coming back. Josh Dobbs is going to keep throwing the football. So, I mean, it's not the same as having Kirk Cousins back there, but it's a lot better than having like a mid or second or third day rookie, you know, playing under center. I read something that talked about Kirk Cousins. It took him 13 years to have a significant injury. And that kid comes in, and it took him 13 minutes, and he's and he's out, which opened the door for Dobbs. But Dobbs looks pretty good. I mean, I think with the head coach situation there, it's probably ideal because they have the ability to really, I don't want to say handle him with kid gloves, but it's a good offensive mind there that's going to help direct him and be in his ear. And I think you can still get good production from J. Jeff moving forward. And I think they will bring him back because they have something to play for.
Yeah,
unlike the Bears, unlike couple of these other, you know, the Cardinals, they have nothing to play for. They're playing for draft lottery, or not lottery, but you know what I mean, draft stock. They're trying to get those early picks. The Bears are in the thick of things. I mean, they're the second best, or excuse me, the Vikings are in the thick of things. They're the second best team in the division, and they could play for a wild card. Because the conference overall, beyond the first three, four top-end teams in that conference, I mean, the NFC is not good.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Jefferson owner, you have to feel pretty good right now because 2 weeks ago it didn't look great, and a very different outlook right now.
Let's stick with the Vikings as we look back to what is happening over there? What are you doing?
Sitting here. I don't know. There we go. Okay.
All right.
Henry. Damn it.
He's not down here.
I see him.
All right. We're going to stick with the Vikings and look back at their game against the Falcons. As they pulled out a last-second victory, 31-28, on the back of Josh Dobbs receiving plays through his headset, which isn't that abnormal, except that he didn't know the plays, so he's literally being told what he just, you know, said to teammates. He doesn't know.
He doesn't even know their names.
No.
He didn't have a single first-team rep. He doesn't know the names of his teammates. He just went out there and willed them to a win.
So not only did he... I mean, his passing yardages weren't insane because, I mean, he didn't play the whole game.
Either. He also didn't. Yeah, exactly.
So 150.
And when
yards
he came right in, it wasn't good. I mean, it was all adversity that whole game, which is what makes it all the more impressive.
So let's look at this. Joshua Dobbs, 20 for 30, 158 yards with two touchdowns. However, also led the team in rushing with 66 yards and ran one in for a touchdown.
He looked like Cam Newton.
He looked insane.
He's always been like a smooth runner. He's athletic, but the strength, the ability to stay upright, to break through arm tackles, to like extend plays. He had on that winning drive, a fourth down, where he scrambled and made an amazing play. I mean,
So something to,
not bad.
That I'm going to take out of here that's pretty interesting is, I mean, we saw TJ Hawkinson with 12 targets. Now, we know Josh Dobbs kind of likes his tight ends if you look at his time with Arizona, with Trey McBride a couple games ago, and then Zach Ertz before he got hurt.
Sure,
both of them were getting a lot of volume, so...
Hockenson's stock's as good as it's been. I think for the pass game as a whole, I think you can be assuming above the line, at least volume, moving forward. Because, again, they lose Cam Akers. They only have one running back, and they don't like him. So they're not going to be, you know, it's going to be a pass-first team continuously. It's going to run through Dobbs. And
I feel like we say that every week. But yeah. Now it's just Dobbs throwing
the ball. It's just Dobbs. Yeah, I mean, it's again, efficiency probably goes down. Kirk Cousins was a borderline MVP candidate this year. He's playing great, but fantasy doesn't know the difference between, you know, a target's a target and volume's volume, and Justin Jefferson will get his once he's back on the field, and Addison as well. So
yeah. Let's look on the other side of the ball. Taylor Heinicke taking the reins at quarterback as Desmond Ridder is rightfully so benched.
Stanks.
Taylor Heinicke isn't like didn't really perform all that much better. He just looks more competent.
He just looks
out
like
there.
A pro. He
looks like a quarterback.
We've seen it before in Washington. He has his moments. He has some athleticism. He's a gamer.
Yeah.
He can run somewhat of a coherent offense. Now, the utilization of personnel in Atlanta, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. The Algier Bijan dynamic. What's going on there? I don't know.
Algiers out touching
Johnny Bijan. Smith over Kyle Pitts. I don't know.
Johnny Smith leading the team in receiving.
Yep. Big touchdown, 100 yards.
Yeah.
It's a weird team. Now, no Drake London. Hopefully he's back. But
yeah, so that probably played a part.
The arrow's probably pointing up comparatively to when Ridder was back.
But
there,
I mean,
so.
We saw Johnny Smith with 6 targets and Kadarius Hodge with 6 targets. Now, that's probably because Drake London wasn't there.
Right. No Drake London.
And then Mac Hollins gets kind of banged up. But then, you know, who else are you really throwing to? Van Jefferson?
I mean, are you starting 2 different tight ends from Atlanta every week? Because the answer is yes. It's just terrifying.
Because Kyle Pitts didn't give you a terrible game. I mean, now, across the NFL, there were a lot of better performing tight ends this past week. But 4 for 56, it's not awful.
No, I mean, you're starting him every week.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. And it feels gross.
It sure does. Let's take a look at another game from last week. And this was probably the most exciting and the most fun. And that is the Texans over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 39-37. And you really saw...
It's what happens when 2 elite quarterbacks go head-to-head. You know what I mean? You know, C.J. Stroud, clearly, you know, an elite quarterback at this point. Baker Mayfield, we already know who he is. I mean, great player.
This is the wildest claim I've ever heard.
It doesn't make sense, but man, the quarterback play was good in that. And CJ Stroud, jokes aside,
he's legit.
Legit, man.
So let's talk about this real quick, because the Texans side of the ball, you saw the QB1 on the week, fantasy-wise. You had the wide receiver 1 and the wide receiver 3 and the tight end 1.
Dalton Schultz, baby.
And you know what? I know this isn't our DFS episode, but of course I played Dalton Schultz last week. When he has 2 catches for 5 yards, and then he turns around this week with 10 for 130 and a touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I mean, you got to temper expectation with him. Especially, I think there's some correlation, with Damian Pierce being out and them having to lean even more on the passing game.
Yes, for sure.
With, you know, if Pierce is back.
Singletary looked terrible.
Singletary's not good. We already knew that.
But I'll give it to him. Buccaneers have a good run defense. That's about it.
It's fine. I mean, Singletary is not going to look good against really anybody.
13 for 26.
Yeah, that's about right. That sounds about right.
CJ Stroud though, 470 yards. That's a rookie record, and 5 touchdowns.
Might have been the steal of the draft.
Hey,
going number 2 overall.
There have only been 2 quarterbacks.
Okay.
Besides CJ Stroud, now in the history of the NFL, that have thrown for 450 plus yards with 5 touchdowns and no picks. You name one of them.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah! The other guy was, I forget his name. He's really
He doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter because he's not Big Ben.
That was just the Big Ben plug.
So
Big Ben's done it twice, actually.
We will get into
And it was 500 yards. Excuse me.
Sorry. Yes, but the stat was 450.
But
yeah.
Big Ben, baby.
Big Ben, what a guy.
What a guy.
We'll talk about it in the waiver wire section. However, Noah Brown... 6 for 153 and a touchdown on 6 targets, so he caught all 6 of them. This is now his 3rd week in a row with 5 plus targets as technically the 3rd wide receiver on
just
that.
Temper expectation.
Oh, I am. I'm just saying. I said we'll talk about it later.
That was a perfect storm game, and we will talk
but
about it later.
But your boy missed out on all the fun. Nico Collins just 3 for 50.
Well, he got in the end zone and was just barely out of bounds on another touchdown. Yeah. So, like, he's still a big red zone target. He gave you a fine day. But Tank Dell gets in the end zone. Noah Brown.
Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz both seeing 11 targets.
Yeah, they were awesome. And that's a game-by-game thing. There will be the ebbs and the flows of mm-hmm. some days it'll be Tank Dell, some days it'll be Nico. I can't put money on Noah Brown moving forward, unless you're desperate in, like, a deep format.
Now, on the other side of the ball, your boy had quite the day. Rashad White, 20 for 73 and two touchdowns.
I'm telling you.
And 4 for 46 through the air.
It just keeps happening. We're looking at about a 5 reception a game pace the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He had the running game production in this one.
Yes, he did.
On top of that, that elevates him to a completely different conversation if that can continue. It was, his goal line work, the efficiency still wasn't there. Still less than 4 yards a carry, but they gave him 20 handoffs. Yep. And he found the end zone twice. You feel bad for Tampa Bay. I mean, Baker really isn't getting talked about.
He was balling out, dude.
He's not being talked about because of what CJ Stroud did, understandably, but don't ignore the fact that Baker Mayfield's been a pretty good quarterback this season.
No, he really has been.
He has the arm to throw it to Evans. Now, Chris Godwin completely MIA in this game.
Yes, he was. 2 for 16.
Yeah.
But
Cade Otton.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna give you a plug here. My computer would stop giving me security notices that I don't need. You were talking about Cade Otton a couple weeks ago and how you liked him and I needed a tight end coming up for a bye week.
Yep.
My bye week was this week for Evan Engram. So I was like, you know what? I'll go out and get Cade Otton because John's all high on him, and I'll just hold on to him for that bye week, and boom!
Mm-hmm.
6 for 70 and 2 tutty.
Tell him.
Woo!
For the people in the back.
I still lost.
You know what, though? I mean...
But it was nice.
You have to read, like, there are just certain indicators you have with players, and, like, he's still a young tight end, but... His route participation, the ability he displays, he's a smart football player, so they always have him on the field. I feel like he was always kind of knocking on the door there, and I'm glad he got a good output for you.
He did.
I'm sorry he didn't win you your week. But,
okay.
But, very happy for Cade Otton. Like him a lot. Him and Luke Musgrave are two guys that
Luke Musgrave, because I have him in another lineup and another team. And I mean, he's sitting there with a goose egg till the fourth quarter, and then catches three and finds its way into the end zone.
Yep.
I was like, "Thank God, man!"
Yep.
Another game from last week, and this was a lot of people's circled game of the week, and that's the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles still with the best record in the NFL at 8-1 after they beat the Cowboys 28-23.
Close game.
Yes, close game.
Yeah,
Cowboys just couldn't get it.
That one didn't disappoint.
Game.
They barely hit the over.
No, yep.
By half a point.
Yep.
And this was like the game of the week that actually kind of lived up to the hype.
For once,
the Chiefs-Dolphins game. Again, you got to kind of throw it all out the window. When you're overseas like that and you're in Germany.
If it wasn't in Germany, I get it. Like, I get that the NFL Network's pushing like, oh, look at the crowd is great. And the energy doesn't matter, dude. They just had to go 6-7 hours back in time.
Yep.
Or ahead.
Whatever. Yeah, it's just that it throws teams out of sync. It happened. I mean, Jacksonville got two in a row in London this year.
They benefited from that.
And they benefited in the second one beating the Bills. The Bills were so flat, but also the Bills are just kind of looking like that, so I don't really know anymore. But the Dolphins it took them a whole half of football to figure, to get back into sorts, and they looked great in the second half, I thought.
Yep.
A couple miscues. They weren't able to tie it up at the end there, but... Dolphins still can't beat a team with a winning record.
No,
that's the narrative, and fairly so. I mean, that's
hey, and Mike Daniels knows it too. He talked about it.
Yeah,
They've beaten up on teams.
I mean, he's a pretty accountable guy, and he took some accountability measures there at the end, saying that some of the stuff was his fault at the end with some miscommunication. I just think that's him being a good coach. I think some of that has to fall into a
for sure.
But
however, we decided not to talk about that game. Because it did not live up to the hype.
Yeah, it was just boring, man.
Cowboys and Eagles, though. Let's start with the Cowboys. Dak Prescott looked pretty dang good. 374, three touchdowns. Big story out of the Dallas lineup there. I don't know where I was going with that. CeeDee Lamb, he's just tearing it up through the past couple weeks.
He's a great receiver, man.
16 targets, 11 catches, 191 yards. Doesn't find the end zone, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Not when you do for a that's 30 PPR points without
a touchdown.
Not
when you have Jalen Tolbert catching touchdowns. Oh, my Lord.
I feel like I'm just like being attacked in a jungle sometimes.
My house is, we need to get a studio. My dog and cat, jeez Louise.
They're really good kids, though.
Anyways, yeah, when you have Jalen Tolbert scoring a touchdown and then Kevontae Turpin catching one pass for 5 yards, that just, whatever. Jake Ferguson does find the end zone. Another one of the tight ends who had a pretty good week. 7 for 91. Tony Pollard, just kind of.
I think that has to be like a big headline from this game. It's a continued issue with the lack of balance that the Cowboys are just missing that running game. Because Dak had a great game. What happened? They lost. they just need balance to win these games against the truly like the upper echelon teams. Like they're hanging on by the skin of their teeth. They do enough to stay in it, and you have to commend them for that. Philly is a very good team. I think you ask any coach in a meeting or anything else, you can't have the divisional labor the way that it currently is. You're not riding Dak Prescott to 350 plus yards to wins against the Eagles. That's not what you're supposed to be doing.
No.
Tony Pollard and I don't know if it's a Pollard issue. I don't know if they're just having troubles up front. You could break down hours of tape and try to make that decision for yourself. I'm not doing it, but what I will say is Tony Pollard doesn't look to have the burst and that it factor that we've seen from him in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to continue riding him because they don't have anyone else back there that can truly, take significant touches away from him. And again, Philly is a good rush defense.
Yes.
But the Cowboys just, I don't know. There's just something still missing there with that team. They're a good team. They're not a great team. And when we talk about this sometime, like with the Steelers, maybe a bad comp because I would take the Dallas output over the Steelers output. But they just find ways to lose games in the biggest moments. They just are not finding a way to get over that hump. It's been their issue in the playoffs. It's continuing to be their issue this season. Embarrassed by the Niners, can't figure it out against the Eagles. So great game, fun to watch.
Yeah,
good for the betters.
On the Eagles side. Fantasy-wise, Jalen Hurts, only 207 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, get the rushing touchdown, of course, on the stupid little tush-push.
The tush-push.
Whatever. Oh, man. Anyways.
They just do it better than everybody, though.
It's so annoying.
They do it better. Other teams have tried to do it, and they cannot execute it the way that they do it.
I don't want my team to do that.
I do.
It's lame.
I do. I'll take anything right now. I'm a Steeler fan.
A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith both find the end zone.
Yep.
A.J. Brown, still seeing the bulk of the targets as he saw 9, 7 for 66. Devontae Smith caught all 3 of his for 51. Dallas Goedert, 3 for 50 until he breaks his arm.
Oh.
And, DeAndre Swift looked all right.
Jalen Hurts lost me $620. If he rushes for 30 or less, I win 600 ched.
DeAndre Swift not getting a touchdown killed me.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I had
you know why? Because they don't try to run it on the goal line with a running back. They had multiple opportunities, and they just don't even try it once.
Kenneth Gainwell did fly Eagle Fly right into the end zone on a play, though. Did you see that one?
Yes. But why why is that him?
I know.
It's killing me, dude.
Yeah, teams do weird things in the red zone. It's hard. I was bummed, man. I had a couple different parts to my little parlay bet I had put together. I had Tampa Bay +3, which they hit, and then I had some player props in the Dallas Eagles game that I hit perfectly. But because of the injury designation to Jalen, I thought, okay, this is a game where I had him under 30 yards rushing.
Yeah.
And God, for like the longest time in the second half, he was riding at 29 yards, and I was like, oh man, and he's at 31, and I'm like, okay, one knee down, and he's going to be back to 30. I got another, because I had already hit a nice bet earlier in the day. I was like, man, if I can get 2 of them, but no, they ripped my heart up.
Yeah. Sorry, pal. Let's, before we look ahead to next week, let's take a look at some waiver wire pickups. It's going to be kind of shorter because
it stinks.
Yeah, it does stink.
It's like, I heard this analogy earlier in the day. It's like Thanksgiving dinner, but like 3 people forgot to bring sides.
So you just have some turkey that's probably dry.
You have some dry turkey, but then like all you got is like Brussels sprouts, and no one likes Brussels sprouts, but you still got to eat them, right?
No, you don't have to eat them.
This week's waiver wire is Brussels sprouts. And it's not like cooked in garlic and balsamic. No, Nope. It's just steamed Brussels sprouts.
Ah, jeez. Yeah, you know what? This is kind of like that. Yeah. Jeff Wilson meets our criteria for availability at 30%, but why?
Yeah, I mean...
Dolphins are on a bye this week, and Achane's available to come back week 11, which he probably will, and then you've got him, Mostert, and, you know, Wilson just drops down, and he's already not being used.
He's just not rosterable because, no. I mean, the only potential, you know, way you can even look at it is they're both of those running backs, excuse me, with both Mostert and Achane, they're both susceptible to injury. Mostert's entire career is just like a big injury designation. Now, he's stayed healthy this year. You know, if they get banged up, you keep an eye on Wilson, or if you have like a super deep bench league, okay, if you want to stash him and you have that luxury, great. Mm-hmm. I'm not rostering him anywhere. I mean, you just can't do it.
All right. There's really not that many great players available. We're going to talk about a couple people that you want us to temper our expectations on. So let's start with Noah Brown because he's available. I'm trying to find him on this list, and I can't even find him. But, yeah. I mean, he's available everywhere.
You know, he's, like I said, in a deep format. You know, in an offense that seems to be throwing the ball a lot, and, I mean, you know, you like being associated with Stroud right now. I understand it. Take a flyer on him if you're desperate. But that's really going to be the whole tone of this waiver wire is if you're desperate, there's a couple guys you can take chances on. I think the interesting thing really to look at here is just going to be quarterback because you have Jalen Hurts on bye. You have Pat Mahomes on bye. You have some good quarterbacks that won't be in lineups this week. Who's your favorite quarterback flyer for week 10 right now, Zach?
I actually need one, so I was already looking into it, and I am hoping to get, honestly, Josh Dobbs or Gardner Minshew, because I lost Kirk Cousins for the season, and I was forced to play Geno Smith this past week.
That went well.
No.
Bloodbath.
I can't trust him right now, and... So I am looking elsewhere, and so I'm hoping for Josh Dobbs. However, against New Orleans this week, I am leaning towards Gardner Minshew playing the Patriots.
Gardner Minshew. I mean, Minshew's given you pretty good production. He's been good, and he runs around a little bit.
He had kind of a down week this week. That's because they didn't need him to do anything Carolina sucks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the weeks prior, 21 fantasy points, and then 34 against Cleveland. Which that game was kind of not Cleveland-esque of their defense. However, it doesn't matter.
You can't take it away from him. I mean, he was good.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting a few rush attempts every game, too. Like, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's a scrappy guy. I've always liked Gardner Minshew. He deserves to be a starter somewhere.
He's perfect for what he's doing. Because you can't build a team around him, but you have a shot when he's in the game. Yes. And I think he's like the ideal backup. You know
who's going to get destroyed this week?
Tell me.
Tommy DeVito. Playing the Cowboys.
Joe Pesci. I mean, Tommy DeVito. Lord. Yeah.
He's going to get killed.
It's not going to be pretty, man. I have the Cowboy D in about three different leagues right now. Boy, am I excited to see what that output looks like.
It's gonna be nuts.
I'm on stroke watch for Brian Daboll. I mean, the poor guy, man. I'm not even joking. Like, yeah. I feel bad. I mean, there's just nothing.
However, back to your
redeemable about what that offense is gonna be. I mean, it's gonna be bad.
The question you asked me about which flyer quarterback do I like the best this weekend? I'm gonna say Gardner Minshew. However, if Kyler Murray was not drafted and held on to by somebody else, because I don't know. I don't know if I expected him to miss 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Then
he's going to be definitely available in some leagues.
He's going to be available. I mean, I'm looking at my home league right now, and he's available there. But, I mean, they're playing Atlanta, so not the greatest defense. So, possibility there. I still think I like Gardner Minshew's matchup
better. I don't think Taylor Heineke is a terrible, terrible call if you're really desperate.
No.
Maybe you miss on a guy or two you want. I mean, they play Arizona week 10.
You're right. I'd go Taylor Heineke if Drake London's back this week, and he has more options.
And if Will Levis is still on your waiver wire, which is he's a little bit outside of our criteria. He's rostered in 41% of leagues, but he goes up against that Tampa defense that just got torched by CJ Stroud. Levis has been
Tampa's passing good. Defense, yeah, not the greatest.
Yeah.
The other guy we want to talk about is Mitchell. I'm trying to blank on his first name, and it starts with a K.
Keaton Mitchell.
Keaton Mitchell. I almost said, I don't know what I almost said.
Yeah.
Keaton Mitchell.
Rostered in just 3% of leagues.
Yes. Obviously had a big week. However, the Ravens backfield is still crowded with Gus Edwards and Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell. However, I think that this past week's performance, and people are like, oh, he's another A-chan.
Right.
Maybe as a comp. Yeah.
He's fast as can be. He has burst. He's also proven to be very injury prone already without seeing hardly any touches.
I think you have to be injury prone to be a Ravens.
That's a requirement. Yeah. They sign that in blood when they come to the team.
Literally, like, that you have to bleed, and then they're like, okay, take that, save it. We're going to have you sign a contract.
But it leads to the point that they do have, they're susceptible to injury at running back for whatever reason. They already lost Dobbins for the season. Edwards has a pretty extensive injury history, Gus Edwards. So, you know, if a guy does go down, I mean, I think Mitchell may have already surpassed Justice Hill
on the depth chart. I agree with that.
And, you know, I mean, he's a stash. I mean, I think Keaton Mitchell is a stash. I don't think you're picking him up intending to play him.
No, I mean, I don't know. One week, and, you know, a lot of it on one run. It's hard to be like, oh, yeah, found their answer at running back.
It's very hard.
Gus Edwards isn't not performing.
No, he's been very good. No, I think he is the one in the backfield. I'm just saying, you know, if you're talking about stashes, again, we're reaching here. There's not a lot really readily available on this waiver wire segment. If Zach Charbonnet, who, again, is a little bit outside our criteria, but he is available in some leagues, I kind of like stashing him.
Yep.
But again, these are all stashes. I think Tajay Spears is a stash. I think Antonio Gibson is a guy.
I've been telling you to go get Tajay Spears, dude.
I love Tajay. I love him.
Now, I saw you had Leonard Fournette pulled up on your screen over there.
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of his legs?
He looks real big in a good way. You know, he doesn't look fat. He looks, his thighs were literally bursting out of his shorts.
I don't love the pickup as a James Cook owner, but whatever.
It's the Bills' backfield, and it just, even with Singletary gone, it just continues to be the same weird committee.
Yes.
Where they just cannot commit to anything, or anyone, I should say. Annoying. But again, he's a stash. I mean, you have all stashes. There's not really a guy out here that I like as a start.
You're picking up and throwing right into a lineup, and he's going to, you know, win your league for you.
No. Yeah. Outside of, I mean, if you want to take a shot on Royce Freeman, okay. Pray for a touchdown. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
yeah, for sure.
It's just not great. I will say, I think Roschon Johnson is a drop right now. With Khalil Herbert getting close to being activated and the way that Deontay Foreman dominated carries in week 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's disappointing because I think Roschon Johnson's a good football player, but I don't see any reason to be rostering him right now.
Perfect segue for me here, so I'm just going to take advantage of it.
All right.
Because I was going to ask you, at our final little segment here, about our who's going to be fantasy relevant or irrelevant in matchups. And I was going to try to throw you a curveball and give you the worst matchup of the week. And of course, guess what, guys? It's Thursday night.
Shocking.
And that's the Panthers at 1-7 and the Bears at 2-7. That is must-see TV.
Oh, God.
Anyways, regardless of the outcome of the game.
Fight for the number one overall pick. Do you think one of them just comes out and waves a white flag and... what's going to happen there?
I would almost rather see that. That would be more exciting than what this game is probably going
to
be.
See, those games are miserable to bet on. I hope you get that one later on here, because I don't want to have to even choose that game.
However, who are you seeing as fantasy relevant or irrelevant? So basically a start-sit type out of these two teams.
I kind of mentioned Foreman. I think, what is the status on Khalil Herbert moving into Week 10?
He's playing.
He is playing.
He's back.
So I think Herbert is a tentative start. Beyond that, I probably wouldn't be touching anyone else in that backfield. Definitely not Roschon.
What about Cole Kmet?
Cole Kmet's been awesome. He's a start regardless. So he's one of the few bright spots. Curious to see if Justin Fields plays. If he does, that boosts up DJ Moore for me a little bit more.
Did Adam Thielen come back down to earth?
I mean, I think Adam Thielen just is what Adam Thielen is. I think he'll continue to get peppered with targets. You know what I mean? I don't think that's going to change.
He saw his lowest target since week 1.
He only
saw 6.
He did. I mean, but it's still
in a
six.
Game where, in a game where they needed to be throwing the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
They were down big early.
Well, as they usually are. And, you know.
Unless they're playing the Dolphins and they're up big.
I mean, you're still starting Adam Thielen. I mean, it's just, you can't. Okay. You can't get away from that. It is Chicago who's had a little trouble against receivers. So
yeah.
I mean, the usual suspects that you have to start. I do like Cole Kmet. Glad you brought him up. He doesn't get talked about enough. He's been just finding the end zone.
What a catch he had on that first touchdown, again. Huh?
I mean, it was a great play, and like he is a good player.
He's just in an unfortunate situation.
He's on but it's now you're starting to see the production happen. I mean, I always say follow the money. You know, he signed a nice little deal in the offseason leading up to this year. I think it was, I think it was in the range of like 3 years, $42 million, something like that, $40 million. And they like him there. I mean, he is a weapon. He's a multi-purpose tight end. So, I mean, he's a must start. Outside of that, though, I mean, I'm staying away from the Carolina backfield if I can. I'm starting Adam Thielen. That's about it. Bryce Young is completely unstartable.
He's droppable, dude.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you shouldn't have him rostered anyway in any type of redraft.
Dude, did I tell you, just because this is relevant to this, rookie draft in third or fourth year of this Dynasty League, and I needed a quarterback. And for whatever reason, I was like, man, I'll take any of these rookie quarterbacks except for C.J. Stroud. Ooh. For whatever reason, I thought that.
I can't blame you for that.
It comes to me, and he's the only one left. So Bryce Young was taking the pick before him, so I take C.J. Stroud, and now I'm like,
yeah, you look like a genius. Yeah,
I look like a genius.
I just told everybody that
I didn't want him. But.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been great. I mean, I got Anthony Richardson at 4 overall.
Nice.
In a late rookie
draft.
That's
who I wanted.
I was very happy with that, and really happy with what I saw with him on the field. Really unfortunate he got hurt this season. But, Bryce Young, I mean, C.J. Stroud looks like the biggest steal of a number 2 overall pick.
Yeah, no, for
we've
sure.
seen in a while.
Yeah,
but it's common. We see these number 1 overall picks more times than not. They don't pan out.
No,
they really don't. Lawrence and Burrow, I guess, are exceptions. You know, they are the scenarios you roll out if you want to make a point
just
for the
first
pick.
Just go the easy way. I'll take a lineman in the first overall pick. Just do it.
Oh God.
All right. Let's move on to a big divisional game: Browns and Ravens. So we're thinking fantasy-wise here. I was about to talk about betting, but that's next episode. That's tomorrow. So, Browns and Ravens. We saw Lamar Jackson get a little banged up and couldn't finish the game.
He was fine. It was a route.
Or is it that time of year when Lamar Jackson gets hurt?
Certainly could be. I mean, he would have been out there. He has his deal now. He's not playing for money anymore, so he's got his deal.
Okay.
You know, if it's a close game, I think he stays in there. Okay. That's another bet I missed. He needed 13 more yards passing, and they promptly took him out so that Huntley would throw a touchdown to Odell.
All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions here. Ravens wide receiver-wise, besides Zay Flowers, we finally saw OBJ get in the end zone. Is he a flex option, or was that a one-time thing?
I think it's a one-time thing. I think what you see is what you get. He's a shell of his former self, but he's running a lot of routes. I mean, it's true.
I know.
Rashad Bateman is a
he's just a shell.
I think he's a talented guy. He'll get a couple deep, targets per game that Lamar promptly throws out of bounds, and he won't even have a chance to catch it. And it's just. So, I mean, outside, if you have to start a Raven receiver, you're putting a gun in my head, I'm saying it's Odell if it can't be Zay.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the Browns side, obviously you're starting Amari Cooper. They move on from Donovan Peoples-Jones, correct? Yes?
They
got traded?
Yeah.
So, we know you like Elijah Mitchell. Do you like him in this matchup against a Ravens defense that has been surprisingly good and holding teams to very few points?
I assume you mean Elijah Moore, right?
What did I say?
Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean Elijah Moore.
Yeah. I like Elijah Moore, but the usage just hasn't been there.
Yeah.
It just hasn't. Now, part of that, I mean, this offense has never really fully been able to come into its identity, I feel like, for what they had it planned to be, with it being such a revolving door at quarterback and Watson being in and out of the lineup. They had a big game. I mean, he wasn't really needed against the Cardinals. It was just they just ran
the
ball.
Which is a good game to ease him back into because he wasn't terrible.
No, I mean, he's just, even his route participation and his overall snap count was the lowest it had been all year against the Cardinals. I don't know. I mean, I'm starting Odell over Elijah Moore. If that makes sense.
All right. I gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I like the player. I mean, there's not a lot of redeeming qualities in his output right now.
No,
like,
there's
just nothing to really hold on to. I thought over the first few weeks, you were seeing consistent 7, 8, 9 targets every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the player. I just don't think that offense right now is super. It's not really built in such a way that you're going to get 2 receivers out of it.
No.
You know what I mean?
What about Jerome Ford?
He's a start. Close your eyes and click the button. similarly to Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
Not much efficiency, but he's getting goal line work. So they can give you, you know, neither of them are efficient runners. No. Jerome Ford either breaks a 50-yard run or he has a bad day. Kareem Hunt gets in the end zone or he has a bad day. Now, Kareem Hunt has been finding the end zone. So to me, he's probably the guy I favor a little bit more in that backfield.
That's where I was going to go with that. I think I like Kareem Hunt better.
I like Kareem Hunt more, but very few teams I think are going to be having to make that decision one over the other. You're not rostering them both. With with the current state of running back, I mean, you got to keep throwing Ford out there as like a flex or even an RB2 if you're desperate. It just doesn't feel good, and it's not very dependable. But Kareem Hunt over Jerome Ford, for sure.
Okay, let's look at, this is probably my favorite matchup of the week. Jaguars and 49ers, both coming off a bye. Jaguars thinking they're for real. 49ers were kind of slipping a little, but they get a bye week. They're getting Debo back, hopefully.
They add Chase Young.
So dude, how is this a 1 o'clock game and the Jets and the Raiders are playing on Sunday night?
I'm so sick of it.
Dude,
sick of it.
How do the Raiders get this many points?
Flex the Jets out of here. Oh, nobody wants to. God, I'm so sick of it. This Thursday night game sucks.
Sunday night sucks. And what's Monday night? Broncos and Bills.
It's better than anything Jets. The Broncos have at least played half decent.
How
as
do
of
you
late.
Put the Jaguars 49ers at 1 o'clock?
It just makes no sense.
All right. Anyways, we know the obvious starts, Christian McCaffrey, Travis Etienne. Now, what about Brock Purdy after 3 subpar weeks in a row?
I think that just with the fact that we do have some very prominent quarterbacks on bye, if you're a Brock Purdy owner, you don't have much choice but to start him. I like him more than all the waiver, the kind of the guys you can take flyers on this year, in week 10 at the quarterback position. So he's a start. If Debo comes back, I like that, obviously, in favor of him. I won't give away my thoughts on the game because I know we'll talk about that at a different time when we're making our picks, but I think the 49ers might light up the Jacksonville Jaguars through the air in this game.
Oh, it's definitely possible.
Especially on the perimeter. I mean, it's not a good group in the secondary, in my opinion. They're much better at stopping the run. Now, I still think San Francisco comes out. They do San Francisco things. They're going to be balanced. They're going to run the ball. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for big plays in the air. So Brock Purdy is a must start. I mean, it doesn't feel super sexy. And I know he's coming off a few, he's come back to earth a little bit. But he's a must start.
Okay. What about on the other side of the ball? What about Calvin Ridley? It's been a little disappointing as of late.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not. I mean, if you drafted him, you took him in the 3rd or 4th round. So, again, you're at a point where it's just like you kind of have to just like own it and just keep sending him out there. He's coming off an okay game against the Steelers. He saw his most targets since week 1. That's reassuring, right? You know, they're coming out of a bye week. You think maybe they've had some meetings. They're figuring out ways to continue to incorporate him and make sure he's utilized. I mean, he is the best. Like sideline kind of down the field threat they have, in my opinion. But Trevor Lawrence, and this is kind of historic, that's how he's been. He loves to spread the ball around. He's going to hit a bunch of different guys. Zay Jones is going to be involved when he's on the field. Christian Kirk's always involved. Evan Ingram is a safety net in the middle of the field. Travis Etienne's catching balls out of the back. There just isn't a bona fide one for me when I look at that offense. And if I like a safer floor, I like Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Kirk's been the wide receiver 1 for them throughout the season. I mean,
I mean,
you drafted Calvin Ridley to be a wide receiver 2, and
he's not been that.
Not. I mean, no. what's he?
He's given you 2 good weeks.
He's wide receiver, 42 on the season? 40. Yeah.
No, that's after a bye, so it's a little on a per game basis. He's a little bit better than that, but he just, I mean, Christian Kirk's been a lot more dependable and safe, you know, through half the season. So, I mean, if you're asking me one or the other, I'm always taking Kirk right now.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm always taking Kirk.
All right. I'm going to drop another just random on you as we wrap up the show here. Going into week 10, we're going to try this again because you were 0 for 3 last time. Who is...
Was I? On what?
Who's the QB1 this week?
Oh, well, jeez. Jeez. QB1 this week. Well, let me look at these matchups again here.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you who I think is going to be QB1 this week.
All right.
And I'm actually going to go Joe Burrow.
Okay. Love that.
I think the Texans-Bengals has potential to be a real high-scoring matchup here. I mean, if Baker Mayfield can, you know, score 30-plus points on the Texans, I think the Bengals definitely can.
Yeah, the Texans, I mean, the whole conversation there has nothing to do with the defense. I mean, it's they have a couple pieces, but it's the C.J. Right. Stroud show. That's what we talk about. Josh Allen in primetime usually can be, you know, against a Denver team that is playing a little better. I love the Joe Burrow pick. I mean, he looks like the Terminator again, man. He looks scary.
And T. Higgins
stepping up, as I think we said he would. We talked about that a week ago.
It was
a
matter of time. He had some injuries.
Pendulum swings back. You know, it was a tough start. But I think Dak Prescott against a bad Giants team. He has to be a candidate.
What's the Giants?
They're all smashed. I know. They're it all smashed starts. Me. What about C.J. Stroud against the Bengals defense?
I know. I think those two are going to be. I honestly think they might be 1 and 2. But I think that Joe Burrow ends up as the one. So give me your QB one.
Well, you're going with Burrow,
just naming quarterbacks at this point.
Well, we're talking through it. We're a talking show. I'll go with my heart more on this. I'm going to go Josh Allen against the Broncos in primetime on Monday night. I'm going to say he gets, you know, 3 touchdowns, over 300 yards, does stuff on the ground. Yeah, I'll go with that.
All right, wide receiver 1. And I'll tell you mine while you think and look at matchups.
Oh, wide receiver 1.
Wide receiver 1.
That one's easier for me.
All right, it's easier for me too, and I'm going to Ross St. Brown against the Chargers pass defense that is not great.
Okay, I'm going to go Jamar against that Houston defense that just got beat up by Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans
for
a deep pass. I like Jamar Chase, assuming he's healthy and ready to go. I'll go with Jamar. I think CeeDee Lamb is an honorable mention, too, against that Giants defense.
He might be able to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but Moen Rall, though, I mean, he'll get peppered with targets. That Charger D is kind of...
He finally got the bye week to get... I mean, it wasn't that he was hurt, but he's just a little banged up.
He's been dealing with some nagging things, for sure.
Got the week off. He's ready to go.
Yep. I'll go with Jamar.
All right. Now, this is tough because you never know. RB1 for week 10. And I honestly don't even have one. So I got to think about this, too.
I want to do something interesting and say, like, Jahmyr Gibbs. But then I hear, you know, Montgomery might be coming back.
Yeah, right. So I'm actually going to go ETN just because... I mean, the hot streak he's on.
San Francisco.
Yes, and
it's a bold prediction. I mean,
he's been getting a lot of work out of the pass.
Listen,
game,
he's RB2 this year.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean.
So, I like his involvement in the pass game, and, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Eckler against Detroit. I look at what the Ravens are able to do to them.
Yeah.
It's another AFC-NFC game. I think that where there's smoke, there's fire. Whenever these NFC teams travel or vice versa to the other conference, I think kind of all bets are off a little bit.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that with the injuries to the receiving room in Los Angeles, it's really just, I said it earlier, I mean, it's the Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler show. I'm going to go with Austin Eckler. I like him against Detroit.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as we give you our DFS lineups for week 10 and our bets against the spread. We keep track now. So there's some interesting outcomes there you guys want to tune in for. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media pages on X. We are at FF Blackboard on Instagram. We are at Fantasy Blackboard. And you can always shoot us an email at Fantasy Blackboard. Wait, no, at FF. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, I thought I was flying through this. Oh. At ffblackboard@gmail.com.
See, we purposely made all of our account names just slightly different.
Yeah.
So that everyone would be confused. And it worked.
You know what? You made them. So, well,
you know what?
Thanks.
You're right. I did.
All right, guys. Until tomorrow, this has been the Fantasy Football Blackboard.